I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Now, I like always to remind all of us here the very, very quick passage of time. We have already entered into the second quarter of the year. Finish the first quarter. You see how fast time flies in the second quarter, and very soon the second quarter will be over, third quarter, and then winter will be over, and spring comes, and then it'll be Christmas again. You see how fast time flies. And what do we do, my dear friends, realizing that time passes so quickly? What are we doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, this is a very, very pertinent question that we must be asking every day. What have I done for the Lord? What am I doing for Him? When He comes again, what am I going to say to Him? What is He going to ask me when He comes again? And how am I going to answer Him when He comes? Friends, these are questions that we really need to address. Now, this morning, the topic is Simon Cephas, Simon Cephas. All right. Why Simon Cephas, Simon Cephas? Now, Simon is, of course, Simon Peter. Before he was converted, he was, of course, Simon. Simon, son of Jonas. And then the day the Lord called him, the Lord gave him a new name. The Lord called him Cephas. And Cephas is another word for Peter. Peter is in Greek, whereas Cephas is in Aramaic. And then there came a day when Peter denied the Lord three times. And when he denied the Lord three times, yes, he stopped being Cephas. He became Simon again. And so the Lord had to remind him, you were Simon until the day I call you. And then the Lord restored him, and he became Cephas again. That's why it is Simon Cephas, Simon Cephas. Now, I remember telling you about this leader in a certain church some years ago who committed adultery. Now, he was actually a very, very nice person, a very, very friendly person, and the church liked him a lot. But sad to say, this man committed adultery. So what did the church have to do? The church had no choice, but the church had to excommunicate him. And the church did it out of love for him. Now, the purpose of the excommunication was not to get rid of him. The purpose of the excommunication was to try to restore him back to church fellowship. Thankfully, this man responded, he repented, and he was very happily restored to his family and then restored to the church. Now, the question is, was he restored to his former leadership position? My dear friends, he could not be restored to his former leadership position because the church members, the congregation members, could not elect him again. They could never elect him again simply because this man was given the trust by the congregation to lead the church. The church members said, we trusted you, we elected you into leadership, and you failed us. So there was no way that he was going to come back to become a leader in the church. But the church did the right thing. The church very, very lovingly restored him back to the church fellowship. I'm talking about the leaders in the church. They really did the right thing because they loved him very dearly and they wanted him back. Now, this morning, you want to realize that there are many churches or many people who are very, very quick with the gun. Yes, when somebody fails in his witness or somebody sins a grievous sin, the first reaction is this: we want our church to be pure. Let's get rid of that person. Get him out of the congregation. Yes, he's a disgrace to us. That's the first reaction. But dear friends, that kind of reaction is wrong. That is not what excommunication is all about. The purpose of excommunication must be to restore the person back to church fellowship, which was what this church did. Now, this morning, I'd like us to learn precious lessons from the action taken by the Lord Jesus Christ in restoring Peter back to his position of being an apostle. Now, Peter denied the Lord three times, but the Lord never rejected Peter. He never did. Yes, the Lord was not going to tell Peter this: Peter, you are no longer fit to be my disciple, no longer fit to be an apostle, I'm going to sack you. No, the Lord did not say that. In fact, the Lord already knew that Peter was going to deny him on the night on which Peter denied the Lord three times. On the night the Lord was arrested, The Lord knew that Peter was going to deny him, and the Lord said this to him before the Lord was arrested. All right, Luke 22, verses 31 and 32. I read for you what the Lord said to Simon Peter. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may shake you as wheat. But I prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you are restored, strengthen thy brethren. Then Luke 22, verses 61 and 62. Luke 22, 61, 62. On the night on which the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, and when he stood in the high priest's palace before the high priest, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't turn his face away from Peter. After Peter had denied the Lord three times, one time, two times, three times, after the third time, you would think that the Lord said, you're finished. No, the Lord looked at Peter. I want us to look at this very, very touching record. Please look with, refer with me to Luke 22. Luke 22 and 60, verse 60 to 62. Let me read verse 60 first of all. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. That was the third time of Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And after the third time, we read, And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Yes, the Lord said, Before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. And this was the third time that Peter denied the Lord and the cock crew. And verse 61, now this is what I want to talk about. And the Lord turned, you see, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Now he didn't turn his face away from Peter. No, he looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Yes, what kind of look was that when the Lord looked at Peter? It was not a look of condemnation, but it was a look of compassion. The Lord felt very sad. The Lord felt very, very sorry for Peter that Peter should deny him three times. Yes. But the Lord didn't forget Peter. The Lord really loved Peter. Now, then we see on the first Sunday on which the Lord Jesus Christ rose up from the dead. The tomb was empty. The women folk came to the tomb and they saw that the tomb was empty. And after they saw that the tomb was empty, an angelic being appeared to them and spoke to them. And this was what they said to them, to the women folk. I'd like us to turn to Mark 16, verse 7. Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. Mark chapter 16, verse 7. All right, Mark 16, verse 7. The angelic being said to the women folk, But go your way, tell his disciples, and, you see the name there, and Peter. The angelic beings did not just say, go and tell his disciples, but the angelic being said, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you, that Jesus goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you. You see, the Lord remembered the disciples, particularly Peter. You see that he did not forget Peter. His intention was to restore Peter. Now the question is, how did he restore Peter? Now let us look at the process of the restoration. First, he restored Peter with a reminder. All right, with a reminder. Next, he restored Peter with a restoration dialogue. And then thirdly, for the restoration, the Lord said, these are the requirements for your restoration. So three things: a reminder, a restoration dialogue, and requirement for restoration. Now, in the restoration process, I'd like first of all to see that the Lord Jesus Christ was actually very, very considerate towards Peter. Absolutely. Now, in chapter 21 of the Gospel of John, the passage that we have just read, actually this incident took place by the Sea of Galilee. It was in the early hours of the morning. Yes, and this was quite a good number of days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was the third appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to his followers. And Peter and his fellow disciples, six of them, plus Peter, seven, had gone fishing. And they fished the whole night, they got nothing. And then the Lord appeared to them, unrecognized by them. And the Lord hollered to his disciples, "Cast your net onto the right side." I don't know why they did it, but they did it. They cast their net on the right side. And then the catch was so big that they were unable to haul the net in. And then John recognized that it was the Lord. And so he told Peter, "Peter, it's the Lord." And you know, Peter being Peter, you know what he did? He couldn't wait for the rest of the disciples. He put on his outer garment, jumped into the Sea of Galilee, and then he waded to shore. He must see the Lord. He must hear the Lord speaking to him. You see, from the time that the Lord rose up from the dead till that morning, few days had passed. The Lord had not spoken to Peter. Peter must hear the Lord speaking to him. Peter must hear the Lord say to him, "I've forgiven you." He must hear that. So he waded to shore. He didn't wait for his fellow disciples. Now in the meantime, the Lord very miraculously prepared a breakfast for them. And he uttered those famous words, which we always say, we always sing at our big makan here every time. "Come and dine." The Lord said, "Come and dine," that early hour of the morning. And then it was only after the disciples had eaten, after they had comfortably settled down, that the Lord turned to Peter and spoke to Peter. How considerate, how kind he was. Now this is a lesson that we must learn. Anytime we are disciplining people, anytime we want to restore people to the fellowship of the Lord, we must be very, very considerate. Yes, but so often we do a thing that is very, very contrary. We are very, very quick with our tongue, quick with our action. And because we are so quick with our tongue, so quick with our action, that very often our actions and our words can be very, very damaging. Instead of being constructive, which we want to be, we become very destructive. Now the Lord's intention, as we said, was to restore Peter. Now, he was the one who needed most to be restored. What about the other disciples? Was there any requirement for them to be restored? Was there? You say no. There was, of course. All of them needed to be restored to the Lord. Because remember on that night when the Lord was arrested, what did all of them do? All of them forsook him, all right? But Peter needed to be restored most, because Peter was the one who was foremost in making this declaration. He said, "Lord, yes, Lord, even if others were to be offended," the others here referred to whom, of course? His fellow disciples. "Even if others were to be offended, even if they were to stumble, Lord, I will not be offended. I will not stumble. And Lord, yes, Lord, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the rest of the disciples said the same thing, by the way, but Peter was foremost in saying it. So Peter was the one who needed most to be restored to the Lord. But we say, "But I'm not like Peter." Yes, I'm not like Peter. I've never denied the Lord in the way Peter did. Yes, true. We've never denied the Lord in the way that Peter did. But haven't we denied the Lord, my dear friends? Haven't we failed in our confession in regards to witnessing for the Lord? We did not witness a good confession. We were ashamed of the Lord. Now, for example, let's say at a year-end dinner, year-end function, all our colleagues drink, and some of them drink themselves silly. And then we say, "If I don't drink, I'll stick out like a sore thumb, and I'll be laughed at," and so on and so forth. And so in the end, you know, you compromise very sheepishly, you take something to drink. My dear friends, you have denied the Lord. You dare not stand up for the Lord. You are ashamed of Him. You dare not uphold His name. You have denied Him. Then what about young people? Do we deny the Lord sometimes? Yes, we do. You say you don't, but I see you do. And a crowd of your among your classmates or schoolmates, they could be cracking dirty, filthy jokes. Instead of walking away and not listen to them, if you are scared to rebuke them, you instead of walking away, you stand there and then you laugh with them and you appear to be enjoying their jokes also. My dear friends, you have compromised. Yes, you have denied the Lord. My dear friends, we have to admit it. All of us have denied Him many, many times. And we need restoration. We need to be restored to Him. We need to be restored to the good fellowship with Him. And the Lord wants to restore us to Him, just as He wanted to restore Peter to Himself. So, let's look at the process. He began with a reminder to Peter. Now, let's look at John chapter 21 and verse 15. John chapter 21 and verse 15. So, when they had dined, you see, they were all comfortably settled, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this?" Now, you see, you notice, the Lord did not call him Peter. The Lord did not call him Cephas, but the Lord called him Simon, son of Jonas. Now, you remember the time when the Lord, when Peter was introduced to the Lord by his brother Andrew. Remember what the Lord said to him in John chapter 1, verse 42. All right, but you keep your finger at John 21, but quickly turn to John 1, 42. And the he here refers to Andrew. And Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Andrew was Peter's brother. And Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called what? Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. Now, as we said earlier on, Cephas is in Aramaic. Peter is in Greek, but the two words mean the same thing, a stone. But here, the Lord did not to refer to Simon Peter as Cephas or Peter, but He referred to him as Simon, son of Jonas. Why did the Lord do that? Yes, why? Now, this was to remind Peter of his origin. Peter, you were never Cephas. You were never Peter until the day I call you. Yes, before I call you, you were just Simon, son of Jonas. This was to remind Peter that Peter was nothing and could do nothing without the Lord. Now, when we sin and when we want to be restored to the Lord, we must realize what we were and what we are. What were we before we were converted? Wretched sinners, lost in darkness and sin. That's exactly what we were. Sinners, lost in darkness and sin. And then the day came when the Lord very, very graciously saved us. And then we became what? We became good people? No, my dear friends, we were still sinners. But this time we were sinners saved by grace. That's the difference. Still sinners. Let's not forget that. Now, if we are proud and think that we are so good and that we are better than other people, my dear friends, we cannot be restored to Him. We must be willing to humble ourselves and realize that we are nothing and can do nothing without Him. And don't expect to be forgiven, my dear friends, if we are not willing to humble ourselves and realize what we were and what we are now actually. And if we do not ask our sins, do not acknowledge our sins, and do not ask for forgiveness of our sins, don't expect to be restored. Instead, my dear friends, we must be like David. Remember, when David sinned those two terrible sins, the sins of adultery and the sin of murder, what did he do? My dear friends, he prayed unto the Lord. And this was what he said. He said, Lord, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You see, my sin is ever before me. He didn't forget his sin, my dear friends. He realized how sinful he was. Likewise, my dear friends, we must realize how sinful we are. If we want to be restored to the Lord, never let us think that we are better than other people. Never let us think that we are that good. No, friends, we are not, if we want to be restored to Him. And after we are restored to the Lord, we must never forget our past condition. All right, of course our sins are all behind us, that's true, but never let us forget our past condition and never let us forget our present condition. We are still sinners, only sinners saved by grace. Yes, we need to remember how wicked and how wretched we were and how prone to sin we are. If we forget, you know, if we forget the kind of condition we were in and the kind of condition we are now in, we can be easily be lifted up. We can feel so proud. We might think that we are better than other people again. And then what happens? We're going to fall again. Yes. And I've seen how people fell in my life and how they lost their privilege to serve. After some years of service, these people who have been restored, after some years of service, these people who have fallen and gone away wander in the wilderness. Yes, for some years they were in the wilderness, some of these people. And one day, some very fine brethren went up to them and to try to help them to be restored to the Lord. And some of them are restored to the Lord. Now, I remember one person in particular. He was lost in the wilderness for years because he fell and he needed to be restored to the Lord. And then apparently he was restored to the church service. Yes, but no sooner was he restored than he began to show his old colors, the same as before, proud, lifted up, and he fell again. And this time he was completely left in the wilderness and nobody is interested to have him come back to serve. No, that kind of service that was given by him was never pleasing to the Lord. That kind of so-called service, instead of contributing positively to the growth of the church, that kind of service was really very, very damaging to the church. Now, if we have fallen and truly want to be restored, my dear friends, we must be reminded of our sinful condition. What miserable, wicked sinners we were. And we must realize all the time we must realize that we are nothing and can do nothing without the Lord. Remember what the Lord said to Simon Peter. Simon, son of Jonas. That's what we were before. Let's remember that. Sinners, lost in darkness and sin. Let's never forget them. Now, let's look at the restoration dialogue. All right, we're talking about the restoration process. Now look at the restoration dialogue. Three times the Lord asked this question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, this was the most vital question. Simon, do you love me? It was not Simon, have you repented? Or Simon, are you converted? Simon, are you sure you are saved? Simon, are you justified? Simon, are you elected? Simon, are you sanctified? Now, some of these questions are hard to answer. But the question the Lord put to Simon was simply this. Simon, do you love me? Yes, do you love me? Now, even a child can answer that kind of question. Yes, a child knows whether he loves someone or not. Surely Peter knew whether he loved the Lord or not. So the Lord asked him, Simon, do you love me? Now, this is a good test for ourselves in regards to whether we have truly repented, whether we are truly converted or not. A believer might find it very, very hard to describe or explain that he has repented. Sometimes it's difficult to explain. Yes, because when a person comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ after his conversion, he becomes very, very sensitive to his sin. Yes, he's very, very conscious of sinning. And when he sins, he thinks that he has lost his salvation, that he had not repented at all. That's what he thinks sometimes. But friends, he may feel that way, but if he truly loves the Lord, if he truly, truly loves the Lord, then he truly has repented. Because if a person loves the Lord, the person will want to obey the commandments of the Lord. So if a person truly loves the Lord, loves the commandments of the Lord, then he must be saved. Yes. So the Lord asked this question of Simon Peter. Simon, do you love me? The same question is posed to us today. It is a good test of whether we really are converted or not. Do we love the Lord? Do we really love him? Now, love is the real test of whether we are restored to him. Remember when the Lord rebuked the church in Ephesus, Ephesus was among the seven churches in Asia, the Lord said this to this church. He was rebuking this church. I'd like us to turn to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 2 to verse 5. All right, the Lord says to the church at Ephesus, Revelation 2 and verse 2. The Lord says to the church at Ephesus, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Now this church at Ephesus was a doctrinally sound church. Yes, it was a church that was very, very hardworking. It labored for the Lord. It fainted not. Yes, it was a church that was full of patience. But this church had left its first love, the love for the Lord Jesus Christ. If they did not repent, the Lord said, if you do not repent, then I'm going to take the candlestick away from you. I'm going to take the lampstand away from you. I'm going to take the witness away from you. So, my dear friends, if they wanted to be restored to the Lord, then they must show this first love to the Lord. So, love for the Lord is a very, very good test of whether we are truly restored to the Lord. If we say that we are restored to the Lord, if we are sinned and restored to the Lord, then we must love the Lord. If we don't, then it is very, very indicative that we have not been restored to him. Yes, if we are restored to him, then we must love him. Now, when the Lord asked this question, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He was saying this to Simon Peter, actually. He said, Simon, I know you. In the last 3 years you've walked with me, I know you very well. I know that you are very devoted, you are very fervent, but I also know that you are one who is very, very impulsive. Yes, I know what you did that night when I was betrayed. First, you were actually quite brave. You took out your sword and you were ready to go to battle for me. And the next moment you became very cowardly. I know all that. And that night I also know that you denied me 3 times. Yes, I was grieved. I know that you denied me 3 times. But I also know, Peter, that night that you repented, that you wept bitterly after you denied me. Now, but Simon, now before I commission you again, I want to ask you this, Simon, do you love me? You see, do you love me? If you want to be recommissioned, you must love me. Yes, my dear friends, Peter's restoration to the Lord would not be complete if he did not love the Lord. Do we need to be restored, my dear friends, to the Lord? I trust every one of us here, yes, I need to be restored to the Lord. But then how can I know that I'm truly restored to him? The question to ask is, do I love the Lord? If I really love him, then I am restored to him. If not, I'm not restored to him. Simple as that. Now look at the Lord's first question again in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than this? Now some interpret this to mean that the Lord was saying, asking Peter whether he loved his fishing nets and his fishing boats more than he loved the Lord. Yes, but I don't think that interpretation is correct, because all of them in the first instance had already left their boats, their fishing nets. I'm talking about those who were fishermen, who were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had left the fishing nets, left the fishing boats to follow the Lord. So surely that was not what the Lord meant. But rather the Lord was asking Peter this question: Peter, do you love me more than this? Love me more than your fellow disciples loved me? That was the question the Lord was asking Peter. Remember, the Lord had to ask that question because Peter was very, very boastful that night on which the Lord was betrayed. Remember, he said this: although all my fellow disciples are going to be offended or will be offended or will stumble, I will not stumble. Though I should die with thee, Lord, yet I will not deny thee. He was foremost in saying that, and he was saying that in comparison with his fellow disciples. Yes, he was so sure of himself that he would do better than his fellow disciples. Peter was overconfident. He was trusting in what? His own strength, own wisdom, own courage. My dear friends, Peter would be of no use to the Lord if he continued to have that kind of thinking. If he trusted in himself, he would be of no use for the Lord. Likewise, my dear friends, you and I will be of no use to the Lord. Truly, if we think we're so good, we depend on ourselves, we depend on our own ability, depend on our wisdom, depend on our education, my dear friends, we will be of no use to the Lord. We must totally depend on him. You remember the case of Moses in the Old Testament? Remember, Moses was very, very confident of himself, and when he reached the age of 40, being a prince in the palace of Egypt with the finest education of Egypt, he thought that he could deliver the children of Israel by his own strength, because he was one who had that wonderful education, and he was mighty in words and in deed. In other words, he was very, very eloquent, and he was one who could do great things. So he thought he could do great things. So he thought he could deliver the children of Israel based on his own strength and based on his own ability. And this is what we read in Acts chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. I read for you, 7:22-23. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, very well educated, and was mighty in words and in deeds. Verse 23. And he was full 40, and when he was full 40 years old, he came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Mighty as he was in human wisdom, in words and in deeds, he was not ready for the job. Not ready to deliver the children of Israel out of slavery in the land of Egypt. And so he failed miserably. Remember, there was the day when he went out to try to do something for the children of Israel, and he saw this Egyptian persecuting an Israelite. He intervened and he killed the Egyptian. And his killing of the Egyptian got to the ears of Pharaoh. Pharaoh then went after him, and he had no choice but to run away from Egypt. And then he spent the next 40 years in the Sinai wilderness. Doing what? Looking after his father's-in-law flock. He became a shepherd for the next 40 years. Yes, that was what he did. Yes, he had to learn the lesson of humility. He had to learn not to depend on himself, but to depend on the one true living God. And so when he was 80 years old, one day in the Sinai wilderness, God spoke to him out of a burning bush, which was not consumed by its flame. Yes, and the Lord said to Moses, and called him to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But you know what was Moses' reply? Moses said this to God: Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who am I? You know, 40 years earlier, you know what he would have said? I am I. But not that time when the Lord called him. Who am I? that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. In fact, he felt so totally unworthy, so totally unable, so totally inadequate that he was actually trying God's patience. My dear friends, he had to learn to depend not on himself, but depend wholly on the one true living God for him to be effective in the Lord's service. Likewise, Peter had to learn that lesson, not to trust in himself, yes, but to trust in the one, in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be of use for him. And that lesson we must learn, my dear friends. I keep on reminding ourselves this, yes, because it's a very, very important lesson for us to learn. Many times we like to go on our own steam, own ability. My dear friends, if we did that, we are going to fail in our service for him. We mustn't do that. We must learn how to rely totally on him. Now, in this dialogue, I'd like us to see how great the Lord's desire was to restore Peter. How tender, how loving, how kind he was. He was not willing, and he is not willing, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter that morning felt very grieved when the Lord asked him that question, "Lovest thou me?" Yes, he was pained that the Lord should ask him that question three times. Now, the Lord was not rubbing it in when he asked Peter that question. The Lord was not asking Peter the question in this manner. "You love me? Hey, you really love me? You really love me?" No, that wasn't the tone. Yes, "Peter, you love me? Peter, do you really love me? Peter, do you really love me?" Yes, his intention was not to make Peter feel terrible, but to show Peter that he tenderly, very, very tenderly loved Peter. "Peter, you feel grief that I ask you this question three times, but I want you to understand, that night when you denied me, I felt far, far more grief than you feel grief now. I felt very, very sorry for you that evening when you denied me three times." That was what the Lord wanted to tell Peter. Now the question for us is, can we grieve the Lord? Yes, just as Peter grieved the Lord, can we grieve the Lord? Of course we can grieve the Lord. We grieve the Lord when we grieve his mighty Holy Spirit who indwells us. When we grieve the Holy Spirit in us, we grieve the Lord. Yes, and when do we grieve him? When we deny him. Yes, when we deny him, we grieve God's mighty Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Lord's mighty Holy Spirit, of course we grieve the Lord. So, my dear friends, if ever we are ashamed of the Lord and we deny the Lord, we grieve the Holy Spirit and we grieve the Lord. Now, when the Lord asked this question, "Simon, lovest thou me?" three times, he was actually assuring Peter this: "Peter, as you denied me three times I'm forgiving you." That's what he was saying. "I'm forgiving you three times, as you denied me three times." And this was done in the presence of Peter's fellow disciples to show the fellow disciples that Peter is now formally restored. Yes, I've decided to bring him back. He's back now. I formally restored him. That was what the Lord wanted to tell the fellow, Peter's fellow disciples that morning. And during our Lord's ministry on this earth, one day the Lord asked, Peter asked the Lord, "Yes, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus says unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." The Lord who teaches us how to forgive surely knows how to forgive. Yes, in fact, he has made the provision for forgiveness already. Did you know that? The Lord has made the provision for forgiveness by shedding his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for us. Did you know that? He shed his precious blood for us to provide for the forgiveness of our sins. And today, if we want to be restored to him, if we want to be forgiven of our sins, let's turn to him. Ask him to cleanse us by his precious blood that was shed for us on the cross of Calvary. And if we mean it, we sincerely love him and we mean it, my dear friends, he will surely cleanse us of all our sins. Now look at Peter's response to the Lord's questions. And Peter said this, "Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said this in response to the Lord's first two questions. The Lord said, lovest thou me? And Peter said, yea, Lord, you know I love thee. And then to the final question, Peter said this, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, Lord. You know that I love thee. Now notice Peter's utter humility. This time, no mention of his fellow disciples. You remember before, on the night on which the Lord was betrayed, you say, even if others were offended, I won't be offended. This time, no mention of the other disciples. He just said, Lord, you know that I love you. He dare not compare himself to the other disciples. He merely said this. Actually, what he was trying to say was this. True, Lord, I lack knowledge. I lack wisdom. I know I've been very boastful. I know I've been very cowardly. You know all these things about me, Lord. But Lord, you also know one other thing. You know that I love you, Lord. You know that I love you. That was what Peter wanted to tell the Lord. Now, for us to be restored to the Lord, I like to repeat. Friends, we must be humble. Must be willing to be humble. If we are not willing to humble ourselves, there can be no restoration. Peter was not at all defensive when the Lord rebuked him that early morning when the Lord wanted to restore him. Peter was never defensive. He never gave any excuses. You know, Peter could have given excuses that morning. Did you realize that? He could have told the Lord, Lord, you know, in that terrible circumstance that I was in, you know, what do you expect me to do? You know, the other disciples, they were not even there. And if any one of them were in my shoes, you think they did better than I did? He never said that. He just said, Lord, you know all about me. Yes, you know all about me. That's all he said. But you know one thing, Lord, I love you. My dear friends, that is what we must do if we want to be restored to the Lord. No excuses. No, we must not be defensive, but we must be willing to humble ourselves, confess our sins, admit that we are wretched sinners, and ask the Lord to forgive us. And if we are very, very sincere and we really love Him, the Lord will surely restore us. Finally, let us deal with the Lord's requirement of Peter. The Lord was saying to Peter, Simon, actions speak louder than word. You love me, all right? True, okay, good. Feed my lambs. The next time the Lord said, feed my sheep. The third time he said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Surely, my dear friends, if we look around us, there are those who are young in the faith, those who might be spiritually weak. Yes, these are those in the church who need special help. Those of us who say that we love the Lord, my dear friends, let's do something about it. Feed them. Feed them spiritually. Feed them with the Word of God. And then we say that we love the Lord. I'm talking to leaders now. Yes, Sunday school teachers, members of session, we say that we love the Lord. Now, how committed are we in feeding the flock? How committed are we in wanting to help them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? And when we have to lead a Bible study or when we have to give an exhortation, how much time do we spend preparing? Are we very, very committed in doing all that we need to do to help other people grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Then what about Sunday school teachers? What do we do to feed the flock that is under us? Do we wait until Saturday night? Yes, 2 hours before we go to bed. Yeah, tomorrow I've got to teach Sunday school. I better look at my lessons now and prepare for the next day. My dear friends, that kind of preparation is no good. If you say that you love the Lord and you really want to feed your lambs, you must do better than that. Start from Monday, all right? The latest is Monday. Start from Monday and prepare throughout the week. Pray for the Sunday school children that you're going to teach. And then on the Lord's Day when you teach, you will be sure that you will be teaching a good lesson. You will be genuinely feeding the flock that is under you. Then there are older Christians in the church to take care of. They are the Lord's sheep. They need feeding too. Now, my prayer for myself is this, that I will love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I know that I truly love him, I know that if I truly love him, then I'll do my very, very best every time I prepare a message to preach. I must do that if I say that I truly love him. Yes, and that I must do. And all leaders, my dear friends, we must do the same thing. Pray, we say that we love, pray this prayer, that we must pray that we may love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if we really say that we love him, then we must do our very, very best in all our preparation to serve him, to feed the flock. Then others may say that, well, but I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not a member of session. Then where's my flock? Where's my flock? My dear friends, if you are parents, yes, you have your flock. Your family is your flock. My dear friends, prepare hard. Yes, prepare hard and prepare the spiritual lessons to feed them. They, members of your family, are your flock. Then there are others in our midst here who say, but I'm not a session member, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, I'm not a parent. Then who is my flock? How can I feed someone who I don't even know if I have a flock? My dear friends, you have. Yes, you have. Every one of us has. Yes, our neighbor, our fellow member in the church. How may we feed our fellow member in the church? You may not be taking a Bible out to teach the person out of the Bible. But dear friends, by your example, you may be able to help the person to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that way, you are actually feeding that person. Yes, you're feeding that person with your good example. Good example of the believers. My dear friends, all of us need restoration to the Lord because we sin. We break his commandments all the time. But friends, be encouraged. Even if our sins are very, very grievous, the Lord does not cast us away. He desires to restore us unto himself. And just as Peter needed to be reminded before he could be restored to the Lord in regards to he was before he came to the Lord, my dear friends, we also need to be reminded. We always must remember what we were before we came to the Lord. Sinners lost in darkness and in sin. And after we are saved, still let us remember that we are sinners. The only difference is we are sinners saved by grace. Never let us forget this truth. And we need to remind ourselves, yes, if we want to remain in that restored state, we need to remind ourselves that we are nothing and can do nothing without him. The Lord did not cast Peter away in spite of the fact that Peter denied him three times. In fact, that very night, when Peter denied the Lord did not turn his face away from Peter. Peter, the Lord looked at Peter with compassion. Yes, he wanted to restore Peter. And then that morning, by the Sea of Galilee, he wanted very formally, lovingly, and tenderly restore Peter to himself. And that exactly what he did. He knew Peter loved him. And that was the criterion for restoration. So, my dear friends, if we want to be restored to the Lord, understand this criterion. Love the Lord. If we want to be restored to him, we must love him. Then do we love this risen Lord as Peter did? He's alive. He rose up victoriously from the dead. Today he's seated at the right hand of God. And someday he's coming back for us to bring us back unto himself. If we love him, we must serve him. Yes, we must serve him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the Lord says, if you love me, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. All of us have lambs and sheep to feed. Let us feed them if we truly love the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love of our Savior. We thank you that he loved us so much that he gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. We thank you that he does not cast us away even though we have sinned against you. But Lord, he wants to restore us if we have gone away from him. We pray that all of us here may realize that we need restoration all the time. Help us to remember that we are nothing and can do nothing without him. enable us to realize that we were wretched sinners before. Yes, lost in darkness and sin. And after we are saved, Lord, we thank you that we, even though we are sinners still, but we are sinners saved by grace. Help us to understand this truth this morning. Enable us, O Lord God, to grow in you. And Father, we pray that we may show forth our love for you by serving you, by feeding your sheep and your lambs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.